This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Yeah, I like to reward the third hour listeners. I know we're not supposed to say we have 3 hours sometimes, but we're going to reward third-hour listeners because, you know what, we're going to talk about nudity laws from New Hampshire. There was an actual lawsuit in the, the issue of the I Got It Free the Nipple campaign. I guess we can say that, but this thing is just going everywhere. And we've talked about the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals, how they have actually said it's discrimination, basically, to say a man can not have a shirt on and a woman cannot in public. And there's actually a case going on in Salt Lake we discussed where a woman is being prosecuted for being in her garage without her top on, and then the stepchildren see it, and that's going on. And now New Hampshire, more going on in New Hampshire. We're going to bring that up temporarily, and believe me, it's PG rated, so don't worry about it, those of you who are listening.
Yep. And now, yes. Naked in New Hampshire,
naked
with
in
your
New
host,
Hampshire.
Fred Penny.
Those of you who waited for 3 hours deserve this.
He's trying to get out in front of this issue, so you can have a bird's eye view of what's going on.
Then I woke up. So we're going to talk about Taylor Swift, a Greyhound $20 million verdict. We've got to talk about the facts of this, how sad but interesting it is. And then Weinstein's agreeing to pay a $25 million civil court deal to 30 of the people who had allegations against them. We always say allegations. And then the best part about this hour is case or no case and quick takes. At the very end, we're going to do a quick take. And that is what Denise and I and Todd think about, a quick tidbit for you to think about over the week while we're sitting here hanging out. But let's do case or no case.
Now it's time to play case or no case.
Yay!
All right. You know, it's always seemed counterintuitive to me to have a machine perform a medical operation.
Ooh.
But a man in England needed an aortic valve to be replaced, and so a surgical robot, was all programmed to perform that task. The big day came for the patient, Stephen Pettit, who was in a bad way at death's door. His valve was not closing. The doctor turned the robot loose, and it went berserk. Attacked a nurse, put stitches in his heart in some very weird way in a place where they weren't necessary. And to make matters worse, the surgeon sent the rest of the crew out on a coffee run because he figured he and the robot had everything else under control. And it made a royal mess inside of the patient. So it's England, so royal mess, you see. And so I ask you, case or no case? And Mr. Kunin...
Hold on.
Yeah.
Answer this question. Did the guy live or not?
I'll tell you that at the very end. Yes. Suffice it to say that at the end of this horrible procedure, he had to have a manual procedure after that, and he lost his life during that procedure. So, yes, he ended up dying. So, Mr. Kunin, I believe it's your opportunity or privilege to go first on case or no case this time. Case, and if so, what was the result?
Well, I think originally, based upon your clarification there, I will say that this is definitely actually a scenario. Other than that, you're just a good liar. So I would say that this is a scenario, and I certainly cannot imagine a situation where somebody dies as a result of a medical procedure that appeared to have gone haywire, in which a case would not be filed. I think that we live in a society where that's going to happen. So I'm going to say, yes, it is a case.
Okay.
Filed by his heirs for wrongful death and whatnot. I see I said it, whatnot. There you go. So
oh
Ron Phil
gosh,
Ayers.
You're a whatnotter.
And the thing that makes this unique, I'm going to say that the family loses because, now this was England, right?
Yep.
I'm not really certain what their procedures are over there, but I'm going to say that they were unable to prove negligence because the doctor didn't do anything that other doctors wouldn't have done, including sending people for coffee. So,
or maybe because the machine did the work.
Yeah, so it was. So I'm going to say that case is filed and the plaintiffs lose.
Ms. Dirks, what say you, case or no case?
Yes, I don't think they have a negligence claim against the robot because the robot's not a person. So I'm thinking there's something kind of strange and having to do with the fact that there was a robot malfunction. So the doctor would not necessarily have been negligent, but the manufacturers of the robot maybe. What would be the damages? England's really strange, too, about damages. They don't let there be all these big, huge damages. You lose an arm, you get $40,000. You lose a leg, you get $60,000.
Yeah, it's a socialized state when it comes to medicine. Really.
Yes, very, very different kind of damages. So it's got to play along those lines, that it's a really simple, unusual damage award. I'm going to say that it is not a case.
Ooh, going out on a limb.
It's a scenario.
There you go.
It's a scenario, but not a case.
Yes, I like that's fair enough. Mr. Penny, what say you?
Let's talk about liability of the doctor.
Sure.
The answer is, on that one, in my opinion, is the doctor controls and manages the machine. Therefore, he's going to be liable for what the machine does. You can't say, you can't sue the machine. You could sue the hospital, the doctor, whoever manages the machine, make sure it's working right, or I'm sure there's an override they could touch to make sure that, this is going wrong, and we'll deal with that. The issue here is the following. I'm going to say it's a case. I'm going to say they lose, that is, the family loses for the following reason. There's no causal connection between the surgery by the robot and the death of the individual because he died at the second surgery that was done manually, not having any causal connection to the first surgery done by the robot because that, quote, did not kill him. Isn't that great legal analysis?
Yeah, that's good. That's pretty good.
No, I think that's phenomenal legal analysis.
Pretty spot on.
Let me pat myself on the back, which means which means that I'm probably going to lose because it's intelligent and straightforward. So I'm going to say case, family loses, but Denise is probably right.
Way to hedge your bets there. So if I lose,
I don't look so bad.
But,
Cal, do you have time, or should we just...
I have time. I can tell you right now exactly what happened, because Denise hit the nail on the head in that this is Britain. So, but let's lay out the results of this, and then you guys can decide. Even though the robot doctor was responsible, this is England, so nothing really came of it, except that the poor patient had to get repaired from the damage done by the robot. The heart valve still needed replacing. He died. But the attending physician, Dr. Sumakaran Nair, admitted that he had missed most of the training on the robot.
There you go. I was
and
right.
And therefore did not really know what was going on. So now he will be missing paychecks and a career. And by the way, here's what's interesting about this. The reason I brought this up is that most robot training is actually conducted by the hospital. Mm-hmm. And at least in Britain and in the United States at this juncture, there is no national standard for robot company. It's done by the hospital and by like Da Vinci or whoever it is that makes the robots. So if you get the certificate, it's not like a thing you could put on your medical license as a certification. So it's pretty fascinating stuff. It was, the case was never filed. The doctor lost his career, and the
scenario.
Patient lost his life, and that means that it gets 1 point, and that, I guess, is how we're going to play that.
No,
Denise,
I'm the only one that gets points.
Denise, Denise gets
point.
One, we
Denise
get
two. I get two. It was a case.
Yeah, Denise gets 2 points.
No, it was
no
not.
It's not a case.
No case was filed, so you're going to get a point, Denise. And Todd
two
gets
points.
A zip, Fred gets a zip, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is case or no case, and it's time for us to bail out of here.
All right, let's get out of here, Cal. Join us, and we'll come back. We'll talk about the New Hampshire case, about Can women take their top off or not? This is all legal stuff. We're not going off the edge.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4-LAW. That's PENNEY lawyers.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Just that. Fires and natural disasters devastate our forests each year.
I like the Amargosa Valley.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
So we're talking about New Hampshire now. The Supreme Court of New Hampshire, the state Supreme Court, has upheld an ordinance in a small town called Weirs Beach in Laconia in 2016. There's a public nudity law that says you cannot basically go topless as a woman, and it's been upheld by the courts, including the Supreme Court of New Hampshire has upheld it as a valid ordinance and law, and it is not discriminatory in any way against women. And now it is they're trying to get it before the United States Supreme Court, which between you and I, because it's already gone to the Tenth Circuit we talk about, and they said that that is discriminatory, that a woman should be able to take her top off. But I think the United States Supreme Court's going to have to hear this at some time to determine what, you know, whether or not this is discriminatory or not. Most of the cases, and Denise, we're talking about this, that have gone before the state Supreme Courts have upheld the ordinances that do not allow a woman to go topless. Is that correct?
Yes, and this is a very classic example of the separation of powers between state and federal.
That's exactly.
Because the federal courts have upheld that it is a violation based upon racial and or gender grounds.
Right.
And that it's free the nipple needs to be dealt with on that level.
On the state level.
No.
No,
the federal courts are saying it's a violation of the U.S. Constitution and all that. So here we've got the states, the state courts, and their state Supreme Courts that are saying, no, United States Supreme Court, stay out of this.
That's right.
Let's let this be a state's issue only, because you get the right to decide what state you live in. You get the right to live in a state that has ordinances that you believe in. You know, this is really an important, almost local kind of level where you want to raise your family, what, you know, all those things come into play. But the federal courts in the different states are saying, we are listening to Free the Nipple. It does look like these ordinances are gender discriminatory,
right.
And is getting to those federal courts because it does involve a federal question, right? It's whether or not these things are constitutional. Are these ordinances constitutional? So in the, as it goes up the federal court system, they're getting to the U.S. Supreme Courts. And so when you have a difference between the federal courts and the state courts, the state Supreme Courts, that's when the U.S. Supreme Court usually does become involved.
If I put on my prognosticator's hat here, I would say, in my opinion, I think the U.S. Supreme Court is going to deny cert for this reason.
Really? Tell them what deny cert means.
So right now the application filed by the petitioners and the response by the state has been, please, Supreme Court, will you accept this case for briefing on the merits and so that this decision can be made? And if when the court says, okay, we will take it, we will go ahead and decide this and hold in-person hearings and the whole arguments before the court, that's called granting certiorari, meaning the court will then hear it. They haven't done that yet. Everything that's happened up to now is just the petition to ask the court to entertain the issue. And the way that the issue is being framed, I think, raises a sub-issue that the courts don't want to address yet, and that is whether gender is malleable, whether gender is based solely on the XY chromosomes or XX, or is it something that you can say you identify with and decide? And because the arguments start to get there, I think the court says it'll be very hard to issue a decision that does not go there. And right now, we don't want to go there.
Yeah, I think this U.S. Supreme Court is going to perhaps deny those state requests. But I'm pretty sure they're going to take up the federal request, because if they do that, that's where the heart of the matter is. That's the constitutionality of the matter.
And here's the other reason why I don't think they will, based upon that. So when they took up a case like, take same-sex marriage or something like that, you're talking about a decision that in one case that arguably affects somebody's rights in another state. Because right now, like, if you're Fred, you're married, and if you guys move from California to Tennessee, you don't have to get married again in Tennessee under the comity clause of the United States. You get married here, you get to be married wherever you go.
You're recognized there.
And so that was the issue with some of those things. In this one here, if it's a violation of the law to be nude for a female to be topless in the state of New Hampshire, that doesn't affect somebody in California. It affects a Californian that goes to New Hampshire, but not once they leave New Hampshire. So it's very specific. And the thing the court has to remember here, and what I think they're going to remember, is going back to the Founding Fathers, the big debate was, okay, we need a federal government to provide for national defense and to do things, but they were very leery of having a federal government that denied the individual sovereignty of the 13 states at that point in time, because, you know, folks in Boston were saying, our interests have nothing to do with the guys in South Carolina, so we want to have our sovereignty. And I think they could look at this and say, this is too close to that. If New Hampshire wants to be approved, they can be approved.
But on the other side of the table that, like Denise is arguing, the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a federal appellate court, has already weighed in on it and said it is illegal or unconstitutional for a local municipality to say a woman can't go topless. It's already been weighed in on. So the question is, does the Supreme Court hear it? I think they have to now. Now, you're right, maybe in the New Hampshire case, but how are they going to ignore the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals case?
Well,
I don't know.
Because it leaves them split, and that's the problem. There's no answer.
It leaves them split, but only within the jurisdictions where it arises. There's nothing about the Tenth Circuit in the law in Colorado that has anything to do with New Hampshire. It doesn't harm people outside of that state. If they hang their hat on not taking it, that's why.
That's a good argument, too.
But well, I think it'd make them, it just would be easier for them to take up or even deny the federal cases and deny them so that those decisions stand.
Yeah.
I think this is great topics. I love talking about this topic, and we'll talk about it more and see what happens in the Supreme Court. We're going to come back and talk about a Greyhound case, and we're going to talk about Harvey Weinstein. I know you guys are not tired of hearing about that. We'll be back.
You have found Radio Law Talk on the radio and on RadioLawTalk.com, where all of our episodes are archived for your podcasting convenience. We'll be right back.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. That's 800-617-9312.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-918-13.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Three service members killed in a shooting at a Florida naval base will be honored during the annual Army-Navy football game. Ensign Joshua Caleb Watson, Airman Mohammed S. Haytham,
and airman apprentice Cameron Scott Walters were killed December 6th when the shooter, a Saudi Air Force member who was in the U.S. for training, opened fire in a classroom building at Naval Air Station Pensacola. The gunman was killed by a sheriff's deputy. The commanding officer of the base has said numerous times that the sailors took action during the attack and helped save many lives. Several people were injured in the shooting, including two Escambia County sheriff deputies hurt in the exchange of gunfire. An FBI official has said the shooting is still being investigated with the presumption that it was an act of terrorism. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm loving my Balance of Nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickled, but it goes away.
It's just amazing the difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the Balance of Nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, how in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old? I said, Balance of Nature. If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on Balance of Nature.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
So a sad scenario occurred in Texas where a young man was, a 25-year-old young man by Mr. Brown, was on a Greyhound bus. They made a stop. What had happened is the bus driver did not count to see if all the passengers were on, and he started to take off, and apparently Mr. Brown was not on the bus yet. And as he was running to get back on the bus and chasing it, the bus turns right out of a rest stop onto the road, and he is running along the bus. You know, he's going to be stuck at the rest stop. And as it made the right turn, the front wheel caught him and threw him under the bus and ran over him and killed him instantly. So the lawsuit occurred, and Greyhound was hit with a $20 million verdict with the parents of Mr. Brown. And the issue was the claim that the driver of the bus had previously violated company protocol in the past to do a head count, which he had not done before, leaving the rest stop without having a head count to make sure everybody was on. And so that was interesting. But, you know, there are a couple of things we learned from this. Number one, you know, very important to follow. You know, they have directions. You know, Greyhound and businesses have directions. That's why you follow them as an employee. And when you're upset because, you know, you get disciplined because you're not following, you know, directions, this is the reason why. The second thing is, doggone it, don't run after a bus and run on the, you know, and that was their argument. Greyhound's like, what he did, though, was his own fault. He's running after a bus and then running on the main road in front of the bus.
I mean, you wonder if the plaintiff, the family, is saying, look, was throwing my client under the bus, literally, in this case. It's like one of the only times that that actually happens.
They probably didn't say that.
But the defense is saying... But you start to understand why that phrase originates because of the devastation that can happen as a result of that, and the defense was
saying... And the defense is saying he threw himself under the bus.
Yes.
Right.
You know, he has to take responsibility for throwing himself under the bus.
In my home community, during a Greyhound bus driver's strike, there was a bus driver with picket signs, and the bus was pulling out of the station, and he was in between the station wall and the bus itself, and it rolled him up there and took his life. So, yeah, and the family won some significant money out of that because the driver did not see this guy. But my point is that buses, and why would you want to mess with a bus? That's a lot of
weight.
Well,
it's hard to see when you're small. The buses sit up high. It's probably hard to see.
And you can't see that low stuff.
And there's no clean way to get into that bus. It's not like, you know, the doors are shut, and you're not going to be able to hop up on a train.
Right.
You know, it's a very different type of a vehicle.
He's got to stop. He's got to open the doors.
Right.
Exactly.
But,
sad thing, though.
But on the brown side, you count. That's why you have a count. And you're leaving a rest stop. There might be someone still going to the bathroom. You better count the people that are on the list. Okay, everybody's here. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's like simple things.
Sloppy procedure.
Sloppy. But they actually sued for punitive damages, and they did not win the punitive damages case. But
they just got actuals? Is that what you're saying?
It's actuals, $20
million. But one thing I think is interesting in this case is that the trial, took place in Texas. Hmm? The accident took place in Oregon. So, if factually speaking, it happened in Oregon, and I don't know the litigation, I don't know how they got to Texas, but I would say that when you get into contracts and you know, you buy a bus ticket, there's a contract for the bus ticket, you're always looking for that thing, any disputes, it's agreed, will be handled in this jurisdiction or whatever, and if there was a clause saying Texas, well, then you're subject to that law.
Diversity jurisdiction, you can where the plaintiff resides, where the defendants reside, or where the accident occurred. I'll put money, I don't know, I wonder if the defendant resides... Greyhound out of Texas.
I was going to say that's probably where Greyhound's.
The Greyhound's in Phoenix, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So, I could be wrong.
Maybe they picked them up in Texas, too.
So my question in that is, you know, Fred, on this program you've talked about how, okay, California is this type of negative
state. Yeah, comparative and contributory.
And then you've got something else that's elsewhere.
Texas.
And so my question is, this happened in Oregon. If there is a conflict between the negligent statutes, if it was a negligent action in Oregon versus those in Texas, and the trial is taking place in Texas, but the incident occurred in Oregon, what do they do?
No, they apply the Texas law.
They apply
whatever. So the jurisdiction is, a lot of the diversity jurisdiction can vary. So you sometimes, as a lawyer, can go, all right, I got three states to pick from. You know, which one do I want to try this case in?
And that's the truth, because they could have asked for Oregon law to apply, or you could look at the ticket that was purchased and see which law applies.
Yeah.
And if you sue in Texas, it's a presumption that it will be Texas law.
Yeah, and I repent. Dallas, Texas is the headquarters for Greyhound.
That's right.
Dallas, Phoenix is for U-Haul. I got the
that's
two
right.
confused. I'm sorry.
So that's probably why they sued in Texas, is because of that's defendant's headquarters. And that's what
so
they
read the fine print, including those that you get every time you update your software and it's 100 pages long and you click at the bottom. I agree.
Oh, just the same same when you listen to Radio Law Talk on our disclaimers?
Yes.
Disclaimers, just so you know, you're automatically liable for our disclaimers.
Most phones have a read function where you just highlight the text and it will read to you. Yeah, just do that. It'll put you to sleep. It's great.
Well, let's move on into Harvey Weinstein, because that's exciting. So Denise, you did nail this, Denise. You have to see Denise's face. I should have taken the picture and tweeted out. When I said, let's talk about Harvey Weinstein, she gave me this, like when you just ate sour candy, but here's the deal: Harvey Weinstein just agreed to, and the courts are reviewing a $25 million civil deal where he'll put in $25 million for 30 different sexual assault accusers. Yeah, it's accusations, but we always believe that no matter who they are, even if you don't like Harvey, guess what? It's an act. He's accused of that. It's not a
right.
fact.
And this settlement will mean that he does not admit any wrongdoing.
Right.
This settlement will mean that he doesn't have to come out of pocket one cent. This settlement involves his insurance companies that covered his acts and the acts of his business. So it's going to be totally funded by the insurance company. And then it has to be now, because now his company is bankrupt. So now the bankruptcy court has to weigh in.
Right.
To make sure that they are in agreement with this. But it does come out of a part of a $47 million settlement to close out all of the other creditors. So this is agreement between victims, creditors, and Weinstein's company. So it is a very huge, big agreement.
Well, here's the interesting thing too. This basically brings in pretty much all that I know of the civil suits filed against he and his companies.
Yes,
and that could believe it or not, that could clear a lot up. But here's the interesting thing, and Cal, let me get to you in a second.
You're fine.
The interesting thing, if you notice what's been going on with this case, and I know you guys are wondering where I'm going, you notice he's showing up with a big fat suit that makes him look like he's lost weight, and he's in a walker like he's being, and some are claiming, oh, this is the biggest, you know,
farce.
Show. It's a show, you know.
Well, my question was, let's say this goes to criminal court. Could it be entered in that he paid $25 million bucks in this case? It's just not relevant at all?
Not relevant.
Well, usually, I mean, it depends on the state, but I would say evidence of a settlement or evidence that you fix something to make it not dangerous is not allowed to be brought into the suit.
Huh.
Because it's prejudicial for them to fix something or to settle something and it to be presumed that that's a criminal act. Or that's because
of a criminal act. Because he's paid, I mean, $22 million
yeah.
bucks. You could, would you argue in court he just paid it for nothing?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Yeah, here's the interesting thing. No, here's the interesting thing. Did you know a quarter of that settlement, part of it, is going to go toward paying some of his company's legal costs and his lawyer costs?
Yes.
So,
$12 million is going to resolve his costs. So what this means is remember the context is bankruptcy court.
Sure.
And there are both secured and unsecured creditors in the bankruptcy court. And if he doesn't get a good settlement as to all of them, because he technically cannot discharge anything, he's not of that level, unless he gets an agreement with all of them, then they're going to fight over different things and he's not going to get fully resolved. So this does allow for unsecured creditors and secured creditors and Weinstein's own attorneys to fully resolve his bankruptcy estate.
The only thing I will say is there were at least 17 named defendants in this lawsuit, either companies or individuals. And if you're an insurance company, you got to have different lawyers for each one of them under conflict of interest.
Right.
And that can often drive a settlement.
But don't forget, that's just 25 of the overall $47 million total that's been paid out. So anyway, we're going to come back and talk about so we got Texas judge blocking the border wall funding. We're going to talk about a synagogue shooting, all kinds of stuff at Radio Law Talk. Join us.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Not all law firms have extensive experience in all areas of the law.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Jahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and he's the one arrested. The legal system is not fair, and responsibly armed Americans are political targets. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete self-defense confidence. Simply text GCN to 87222. To discover how the USCCA can give you the training, education, legal, and financial protection you need to truly protect the people you love. Don't risk everything and leave your family vulnerable. Now it's time to prepare and protect yourself. So if you're ready to take your next step as a responsibly armed American, you're ready to truly become your family's ultimate protector. Text GCN to 87222. Discover your life-saving USCCA member benefits today. Again, that's text GCN to 87222.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
That's down.
Time to get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
All right, we're going to speed dating time, but actually speed topics. Federal judge is blocking a $3.6 billion border wall funding of Trump. Just so you know, we're going to be following this. But as of now, a district judge in Texas, which is a little bit of a shocker, is attempting to stop Trump from building the wall. Again, none of this matters. You know why? Oh, what? This is important because it's going to go to the appeals court, and then maybe even the Supreme Court. You know, so
yes,
it's going to the appeals court of the Fifth Circuit.
And this is only one of many suits.
Yes. So the Trump administration's already appealed that to the Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. By the time this is all done, this what's going on between the Democrats and Republicans, I think, and not just that. If a Democrat gets in, it's going to go back the other way, too. We're going to need more judges and more lawyers than we've ever needed. Go ahead, Kevin.
And you said your comment was a shocker because it was from Texas. Remember, this is a federal judge that did this, and federal judges are appointed for life.
That's true.
So as opposed to the state judges that have, they're up for reelection and stuff. And so that's the trade-off that you get. Mm-hmm. So
tell us, Denise, a little bit about the shooting survivor that's filing a suit against the synagogue. That's kind of an interesting one, too.
Right. There is a synagogue down in San Diego area, and it's called Shabbat Apoe. And with nationally, we've been having so many more attacks against synagogues. There's been
churches in general.
Churches in general, but specifically that are anti-Semitic. And so what happened is the government gave $150,000, kind of, it's like a donation, but gave that to bring up the safety features for these synagogues to help them so they can continue to worship and they will be safe in their worshiping. However, this synagogue did not use those and do any upgrades yet. And at the time that John Timothy Ernest came in to shoot up in the synagogue, they had the money, but they hadn't put in any security. So one of the persons or two people that have been injured in this, they filed against the synagogue to claim that they were, the synagogue breached this duty of reasonable care against this, you know, constituents.
By not using the money properly.
Yeah. By not using the money at all.
Well, that is the, that's the allegation from the plaintiff. However, the officials for the Shabbat of Poway Synagogue say, and this is a direct quote from them, they say, to imply that the grant of funds could have been used for security guards is misleading. While we were approved to move forward with the federal grant application shortly before the attack, it's a process that can take many months, even years, before the funding comes through. The grant we were approved for did not cover security guards.
Oh.
So, you know, when you get a grant from the government, you got to use it for the purposes for which it's given, and they're saying that it did not cover that. So, yeah, this is going to be a hugely litigated issue about what they did, what the money could be used for, and what and whatnot.
And it doesn't necessarily tied to the money either, if they had the opportunity to hire security guards or to do something that could have protected the constituents. It doesn't necessarily have to be tied to that money.
That's a similar argument the folks in Texas are making against Walmart. There was no public money, but the Walmart should have had better security there. So yeah.
Absolutely.
I think now with the companies nowadays, it's going to, in the lawsuits, boy, are they going to have to step it up. In a way, it's good and bad. You know, I don't know which to say, but it's, anything could happen anywhere now. The way that this country and this world is reacting, just these shootings, and then we can argue about what the cause is, and we're not going to get into that because that's political. But here's some the more important things we need to discuss, and that's why we leave this toward the end of our 3 hours. And this is really important first world issues.
Yes.
And that is the British supercar dealer is suing for a transmission that's worth $500,000 because when he bought the Ferrari 250 GTO for $43 million, he wanted a $44 million. He thought it was not fair that he didn't get the transmission that what he believed was supposed to come with the car.
It was a gearbox. What's a gearbox?
Same thing. Well, gearbox transmission, same thing. Gearbox means it shifts.
The shifter thing.
It means the car cannot go forward or reverse without it.
Okay.
But let me tell you, this is a 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO. I like cars. There's only 39 of them made. It was built by Ferrari between 62 and 64. This is basically the holy grail of cars. This is the most expensive car ever sold on the auction block. And it was the second one they ever built, and they sell these, and then they flip it and sell it to someone else. These entities, and it's no different than an investment in a new building or something else.
So why was it sold without the gearbox?
That's the argument. They knew about it because it didn't have the gearbox with it, but they generally knew where the original gearbox was, and another collector has it somehow. You know, it's like stealing a piece out of it and held it. And apparently that other person that held it said, I'll sell it for $500,000. And the argument is, over this $500,000, who should pay for the $500,000?
Oh, the seller or the buyer?
Or the buyer. Then they came down to it. It sounds like, okay, we'll agree to who pays what. Now they're arguing about who's going to pay for the shipping. Shipping, is that going at a box with a guard? I mean, you don't want to just ship that UPS.
Well, with a car like that, you'd better have a matching number gearbox that came with the car.
That's right.
Because if it doesn't match, you know, the value goes down.
No, the value, the answer is, Cal.
No?
No, the value is $44 million without the gearbox.
Yes.
It's going to be worth more with the gearbox.
Yeah.
The one thing to point out is, you know, when you look at the headlines for this, it makes it sound like, I bought this car and I expected to be able to drive it when I got here, and the dang thing didn't have a gearbox or transmission. Now, they knew it didn't have a gearbox when they bought it. It was $44 million without the gearbox. They're just saying that the seller had an obligation to track it down, get it, and ship it to them, and seller's saying, no, I didn't.
Yeah, it was as is, in other words. Yeah. I sold it to you as is. You knew what the as is. I may have said I'll look for it to see if I can find it and put you in connection with that person, but I don't have a duty to buy that gearbox and get it to you.
Well, here's the interesting thing. This was sold to, it was the company bought, a company buys it and flips it immediately and actually bought it for a very wealthy anonymous collector. So this individual that's suing via this company is a wealthy anonymous collector. So I think I know who it is. I truly believe I know who it is. It's Todd Kunin.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jay Leno.
I mean, luckily they agreed to take a two-party out-of-state post-dated check, and I mean post-dated. But
yes.
No, I drove it here today, so I
without the gearbox.
Yeah, well, you know, look, you give me a little bit of silly putty, some ball bearings, and green.
Flintstone driving with his feet on the bottom of it,
and he backed it in and then bumped the tree. You know, no big deal.
It's interesting. This area of law is starting to get a little bit more play. We had the Jerry Seinfeld lawsuit earlier where he thought he was selling something original. The guy who bought it said it's not, so then he sued the people that sold it to him. You know, the hi-fi world of automobiles, interesting.
The car collection, and by the way, I have the most exciting. Maybe I don't tell about my personal stuff. This is kind of interesting to know. I love Camaros. I've always loved Camaros.
Right there.
And I have a 69 Camaro Rally Sport, Super Sport convertible.
You're killing me.
No, I do.
Wait.
And,
haven't heard the best part yet.
And it is one of the pace cars, original pace cars. So what? It's not the. There's two original pace cars for the 1969 Indy 500. This each like dealer gets one, or some big dealers will get two. This is one out of Mississippi, and I've had it forever, and I just love that car. But I'm telling you, you can drive whatever car you guys want. You could do whatever you want with your car and stand up. I guarantee you I will get more looks and more people stopping me than anyone because that car drives up and down the freeway or goes wherever. It is like accidents happen near me. I'm shocked.
Look, that is a that was Chevrolet's answer to Ford's Mustang.
Yes.
When Ford came out with the Mustang, Chevy said, "And we don't think this stuff is really going to take off." And then it was popular as all get out. And we got to compete with it.
All get out?
Yes, but, you know, the only thing that I would say for me over a 69 Camaro would be either a 66 or 67 Chevelle SS.
Those are beautiful.
I love those. That just goes back to my cousins and would love those.
Well, the 67, okay, we're going. Oh,
you know what I love? You know what I love, honestly? I love Denise's quick take for the program.
Darn it.
Today.
We didn't get into our last little
That's
topic.
That's okay. Quick take.
All right. Quick take. And I'm first, right?
Well, sure.
Why? All right. Mrs. Giuliani is really smart to settle before the assets may be seized and removed to Ukraine.
Yeah. You go to Ukraine.
Ooh.
Good. Fred, yours.
All I got to say, ACT, SAT lawsuit we're talking about. Young man and young women, when you're worried about your dream not coming true, not getting into your college of your dreams, welcome to the club.
Todd.
And I would say, if ever there was an argument that legal briefs should include pictures, I submit as Exhibit A, the New Hampshire public nudity case.
We'll see you next week.
That's going to do it for Radio Law Talk. Thanks again for turning us on.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes,
Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.